Welcome to the teaching ministry of Magnolias First. For more information, visit www.magnoliasfirst.org.
Well, we're continuing this morning in our Christmas series, Who Needs Christmas? And I not only am glad to see each one of you here in the main worship center, but also our members and guests there in the Resonate service. And I welcome those who are listening to this by podcast or watching this morning online through our website. The question, who needs Christmas, has an obvious answer. We all do. Sinful mankind needs Christmas because mankind has been separated from holy God by the sin of our ancestors, Adam and Eve, and we have inherited the curse of sin through the generations all the way down to each and every one of us. You and I need Christmas. Though we were created in His image, the fall tainted that image and estranged us from God the Father. But our Creator, our Heavenly Father, loved us too much to allow us to remain estranged and hopeless. But He promised to Abraham long ago a means of redemption. In fact, in the first message of the series last Sunday, our big idea was Christmas began with a promise. A promise that He would make a way back home to Him, that He would send one to be our Redeemer, our Messiah. And He did so through a young, simple, innocent, godly young woman, a virgin. God chose a simple young woman of great faith to fulfill His promise to send His Son to earth. The virgin birth of Jesus. It is an essential doctrine of the Christian faith. It is essential because God incarnate, God in human form, one who would be fully divine yet fully human all at the same time, could not be fathered by a sinful human father. But He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, and He was and is the Son of God, born in an unexpected place. Maybe you can relate to this story, but I was born in an unexpected place. I'm a United States citizen. I've lived all of my life in Texas. You would think I would have been born in Texas, but I wasn't. Instead, I was born halfway across the world. My story began with the service of my father in the United States Army during World War II. Where he survived not only the Battle of the Bulge, but all of World War II. And then he came back home to finish his education at Texas A&M University. And following his graduation, he re-enlisted in the United States Army and became a part of what was called the occupation force, in that he and my mother, who had been a United States Army nurse during World War II, went to Japan. And she was expecting a child. And I was born. Have you ever seen the old MASH TV show? And they talked about Tokyo General. That's the hospital in which I was born. I was born in an unexpected place. But that doesn't even begin to compare with how unexpected the place of the birth of God's Son was to be. When God began to unfold the grand drama of the ages, He not only chose the most unlikely place, He chose the most unlikely people. People you would least expect to be a part of that story for the ages. He chose ordinary people. In fact, they were so ordinary they worked as shepherds. Now, in those days, shepherds were just about the lowliest of occupations. They spent their days and their nights out in the field with smelly sheep. In fact, they kind of smelled like sheep. And so shepherds were not the people that you would invite to your family gatherings or to great celebrations, certainly not to the birth of a child, but that's exactly who God invited. And there's a principle there that ought to encourage ordinary people like us. It's our big idea for today's message. Aren't you glad God uses ordinary people in unexpected ways? And we'll see that in our part of the story today. Our look at the Christmas story begins today with the actual birth of God's Son. If you have a Bible, open it to Luke chapter 2, and we'll begin with verse 6 at the birth of Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 6. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. We have heard this story so often we can forget how amazing, how unusual, how unexpected it really was. A song written several years ago that's become popular captured it well in one of the verses. It says this: think of how it could have been if Jesus had come as he deserved. There would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason he had to reach so far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here, inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now, I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. Though deserving of the richest and the best, God chose for his son to be born in the lowliest of circumstances. We'll return to the narrative with me, verse 8, and we see some unexpected participants. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. You see, it was just ordinary people on an ordinary night doing ordinary work, tending sheep, when something supernaturally extraordinary takes place. See it in verse 9. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. Not a surprising statement here. They were terrified. They were terrified. They were about to receive a unique and divine invitation to the earthly arrival of God's Son. In fact, these uneducated, socially undistinguished shepherds, think about it, were the only ones that God personally invited to visit the newborn king. Well, indeed, as the verse said, they were terrified, verse 10, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. I love angels. They can say the absolute most incredible things as if they were common. Don't be afraid. Like, right. I'm surrounded by angelic beings. Don't be afraid. How could they not be afraid? They would have never expected that God would invade their common, ordinary lives with an announcement of eternal significance. Here it was, verse 11, the angel speaks, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. What an announcement. And every year, every Christmas, we make that announcement over and over, again and again. It is worthy of repetition throughout the ages. Christ has come. Salvation now is offered to all who will receive it by simple faith and trust. Think about it. The very fact that Jesus was not born in a palace, but in a stable, not born to a queen, but to a poor, obscure young girl, shouts the truth that the Savior has come not just for the wealthy and the powerful, but for all people. Unlike the riches or privilege of this world, the gospel is for all people, regardless of their race, regardless of their class, regardless of any other criteria you could name. No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, the gospel is for you. And the angel continued in verse 12, "And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God. And I know the Greek here literally means saying, but I have to believe they were singing, don't you? I have to believe it was a heavenly choir and that beautiful anthem, "Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." You see, it was a common custom in those days that when a son was born into a family, that musicians and singers would be invited to the home, and they would celebrate with music and with joyful singing. But Jesus was not born in his home. He was born in a stable in a town far from his home. So it was not possible to invite singers to come. So instead, God provided a heavenly choir. And they sang and they rejoiced. And this message, this good news, think about it, was given to shepherds. One writer put it this way, listen, "Into the calloused hands of these laborers, the news of the ages tumbles like jewels from heaven. Where is the royal child who sends these angelic messengers? Lying in a manger? An animal feeding trough? How they must have rejoiced, for he must truly be the king for all the people of the world." The song was sung, and verse 15 says, "When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger." I find it so interesting, the shepherd's response to the invitation of God to go and find his son. They simply said, "Let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem." There was no hesitation. There was no debate. There was no excuse. There was no, "Oh no, we can't leave our sheep," or "What would people think if we abandon our post?" They simply went in search to find him and to know him, to know Jesus. Because, ladies and gentlemen, they understood, and so must we, it's not enough just to know about him. Oh, we hear the story every Christmas, but it's not enough just to know about him. Finding Jesus became the shepherd's highest and greatest priority, and it should be ours as well. They found him. But I ask you this question. Have you found Jesus? For you see, you can feel all warm and sentimental and fuzzy during Christmas season, and that's all fine and good. But it's not enough to just believe the facts about the Nativity. We must, like the shepherds, find him so that we can know him. And for us, that means finding him by faith, by putting our faith in him and becoming his follower. Our church exists to tell this good news, to engage people to become Christ followers. And so I ask you, have you found him? Are you following him? And if this is not clear what this means to you, if this is not quite connecting, if you don't understand, if you don't know what you think or believe or know about Jesus, we would love to talk with you. I would invite you to our hospitality room after the service. It's here in the main worship center building in the hall to my right. And I would invite you to come and just say, I'm not sure I understand. What does that mean to become a Christ follower? We'd be glad to help you understand what the Scripture teaches, because like the shepherds, we need to know him, to find him, and to know him. Well, once they had done so, verse 17 says, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Think about this. The shepherds did not keep secret their discovery of Jesus, but they became unexpected evangelists. They became messengers of the good news. They were not ashamed to tell about Jesus because their hearts told them this is good news that needs to be shared, and they shared, and so must we. Verse 19, I think, is one of the most interesting verses in the entire passage. Look at it. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. There's a song that's become so popular at Christmas time by Mark Lowry, and you perhaps know these words. It asks the question, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Mary, did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new, and that this child that you delivered will soon deliver you? We can't fully know all that went on in Mary's heart and mind, but I have to believe with great confidence that Mary in those moments remembered another visit by an angel that came to her some 9 months earlier, an angel that had said to Mary that day these words that we find recorded in Luke 1, verse 31. Look at it on the screen with me. You will conceive, the angel said to her, and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. And look, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. And as Mary remembered those angelic words, she now held the baby who was God in human form, the one who would redeem mankind from the penalty of sin and death. Well, back to our story, verse 20. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Yes, they had to go back to their lives, but they didn't just say, well, that's over, back to work. They came glorifying and praising God. And we need to have that same spirit of praise in our Christmas season. Because, listen, unless our hearts too are full of praise and joy, we have little to share this Christmas season. Our hearts ought to be overflowing. It ought to be more than just a Christmas carol we casually sing. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. I want to close the message as I did last week to suggest some ways, some next steps, ways to celebrate the season and share the Savior this Christmas. Here's the first. I want to encourage you to write a letter. Perhaps enclose it in a Christmas card. Write a letter to someone serving in the military or a missionary serving overseas or someone who's incarcerated. Somebody who won't be with their family this Christmas. Write a letter and let them know that you're thinking of them and praying for them this Christmas. That it's not for you just about your family and the presents that you will exchange, but because of Jesus, you're thinking about them and you're praying for them. Let me encourage you to take the time to do that. Here's the second encouragement. I want you to take these red cards, and I want you to invite somebody to one of our Christmas Eve services. There are four of them, 9:30, 11, 5, and 7. Here's what I believe. There are people, listen, there are people that you know that probably won't come to church any other day but Christmas Eve. And they'll only come if you invite them. So would you just use these simple little cards as an invitation to say, hey, it's Christmas. I'd love to have you come to our church on Christmas Eve. There's going to be a fun service, a worship. We'll have some lighthearted things for the kids. There's going to be some creative activities. Create is the theme of our Christmas Eve services this year. It's going to be a fun day, but a day of worship and praise and celebration. Would you invite somebody to church on Christmas Eve? Number three, I want to suggest that sometime during your Christmas family celebration, that you take your favorite nativity set. You know the one I'm talking about, don't you? It's either wood or it's ceramic or who knows what it's made of, but you've got a nativity set. And would you just kind of take each character and have a little family discussion? What do you think about Mary? How do you think Christmas was for her? And take Joseph and take the wise men. You can leave the donkey out. But take each character and just have kind of a family fun share time about the real people of Christmas. And when you get to the shepherds, don't forget that God uses ordinary people in unexpected ways. Pray with me. Father, we thank you that you didn't just invite kings and queens and the wealthy and the powerful and the prominent of this world to be a part of the coming of your Son, but you invited ordinary people. Lord, a lot of us feel as ordinary as a shepherd could feel. And yet, because of you, extraordinary things can happen through the lives of those who meet you and follow you. And I pray this Christmas season there would be some who would for the very first time find Jesus and come to know him by putting their faith and their trust in Him. And just like those new believers who were baptized this morning in our Primera Iglesia Bautista service, I pray that there would be many new believers come, because this Christmas, Jesus becomes real. We pray this in His name. Amen. God bless you, everybody.